In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Nice shot, John. That was right on the mark.
I just love putting the torpedo into the false ideas of evolution and creation and just watching them sink to the bottom of oblivion. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hutz. We want to welcome you to another episode of Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks, pot shots, and other things at the serious issue of evolution and creation. We are unabashed creationists.
Who love to bash evolutionists.
Yes.
But oh, sorry.
Not the people,
nice
but the ideas.
That's exactly
the ideas
right.
That have shaped our society. We believe in a negative way, and which are basically outright false in our own
humble but ever accurate opinions.
Thank you. Thank
okay.
you. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yes. Well, today, John, where are we sailing off to?
To the Isle of Maui.
Aloha.
Oh, wonderful. There. Yes. The beach. No, we're not going on the beach.
Ah, the waves.
What, actually, just in the recent month and a half ago or so, mm-hmm. my family went to Hawaii.
Don't remind me.
You've been there so many times, more than me, so don't feel bad. We went there, though, and had interesting experiences both going and coming to the island. One of the mm-hmm. things you have to run through whenever you fly into Hawaii, those of you who have flown there or gone there, mm-hmm. they always check your bags thoroughly and ask you questions like, do you have any fruit or any animals or any kind of wood or products that may be contaminated, that may carry some sort of living species to the island that's not native to our island that may bring problems to
critters
the
that shouldn't come.
Yep.
And Hawaiians have a long history of this because some purposely introduced species like the mongoose has caused problems for the local populations of birds and so forth. So they're trying to be careful
with what they happen because they want to save the species, mm-hmm. the threatened naval
species. Save our species.
And you know, we don't have any problem with that as creationists. We think good for them. We yeah. believe in preservations of mm-hmm. species. We mm-hmm. don't think it's a antithetical. Ugh, I can't even get my word out. Against
that, yes.
against our own philosophies of what life really is and the value of life, of all things of life. Now,
what? Okay,
it picks it up from last week because last
yes.
week we were talking about cloning.
Well, what we're talking about here today, John, is again the ramifications of materialistic evolutionary theory,
philosophy,
the philosophical conclusions of that should be something like this. Who cares about species when it's all about survival of the fittest? If we lose a few species on the way, who cares?
Let's bring some real fit species in and kind of speed this process up and kick a few more off the planet.
Well,
you know?
Like mosquitoes, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Who needs mosquitoes?
Let's poison and kill all of them. If you're
Amen.
A particular species of birds, you might be glad mosquitoes are around because to you it looks like lunch.
Well, now that's absolutely right. And I am a birder. You know, the Hudsons are birders and we love birds and, you know, the idea of you
Tastes
bringing
like
critters.
Chicken,
you know,
no.
It's, oh, brother. You know, the idea of saving species of birds is attractive to me. So yeah, don't bring any critters to Hawaii, John.
You're telling me interesting stories, Stan, of mm-hmm. a particular bird species that they thought was once
Ooh,
an extinct species.
This is hot news. Very hot news for birders. Everybody knows this story, and that is, the rediscovery of the ivory-billed woodpecker found Ooh. In a kind of a marshy forest area in the deep south. And they thought that, good 50 years or more since a last confirmed sighting, although there have been some semi-confirmed sightings. Suddenly, in the last couple of years, they have seen it. They have videotaped it. They have done some recordings, and there are other people who have been in there and now have seen it, too. So there's no question it is back. And, you know,
great.
It's back. It's a great, big, gorgeous woodpecker. But if you were an evolutionist...
Who cares?
Who cares? Or really, literally, it should
big
be
deal.
That way.
Big deal.
Now, of course, there are a lot of evolutionary scientists who are on the cutting edge of trying to save species, and we'll admit that there's many there, but that's inconsistent with the theory.
Yeah, we applaud the people in that particular aspect. We're in the same camp as mm-hmm. the people that are often evolutionarily biased, mm-hmm. but yet want to preserve species, want to save
right.
aspects of the rainforest forest or whatever.
Sure.
Why? Because they basically believe if you lose some of these species, you are really, in effect, losing valuable genetic information.
Okay.
And as you have less information, you have less potential or less possible solutions or combinations.
Yeah.
And, but the irony is that evolution only occurs through at least mutation as we know it. If mutation is the process by which these things evolve or changes, if mutation means change, it always involves a loss of information. You can't add information into closed systems.
Well, at least that's the way it's been observed. All mutations that have been observed in nature have been found to be because information has been lost from the parent to the offspring.
Daughter. Yeah. Yeah. And if you can't, it was impossible, at least from what they think and know. How do you add it in?
Yeah.
And as a result, even the whole idea of saving species because it provides more information, yet the whole theory seems to go counter to what the theory seems to purport on that level.
Well, if you're an evolutionist, again, give it enough time, and if you need a critter like X, then X will eventually evolve, so, you know, or something like X. So, right, wait around long enough and things will evolve to what's needed to maintain things here, it seems like.
Yeah,
I mean, look at all the systems.
Yeah, actually, what we're really kind of dragging this show towards, I'm dragging my mouth here today, man. Anyway, is towards this idea that...
You're such a drag, John.
I know. Some people say, lately especially, since I'm changing positions to become a professor, my daughter's mad at me. The whole world's mad at me about this whole thing.
And with good reason.
Yes. Anyway, the point that we're trying to say is that people who are trying to preserve the species of all people should be Christians.
Why?
Christians value life in all of its forms. Christians, if it comes from the Creator's hand, pretty much, I shouldn't say not all of its forms, because we can go back to Genesis 2 and discuss a few forms that were not yet made by God or intended to have to inhabit this planet. But the whole point is that
the curse on the planet has caused there to be changes in
the
animals.
Species.
Yeah.
And plants.
And some of them we're not that jazzed about. Thorns and thistles and plants and critters and no question mosquitoes. So anyway. Yeah.
But the point we're making is that we value species.
Yes.
Because species are valued by God himself. And actually, I'd like to even go there a little early in the show, not real early, but the whole point is that we have a text found in the book of Matthew chapter 10. I think it's somewhere around verse 29. And, where God says he expresses Jesus, the Father's verbal sort of in a way that he has a commitment to some of what we would consider the insignificant species of our planet.
Well, the subject is Jesus is trying to affirm God's thinking about us, that we are valuable and he cares for us. But the illustration he uses is from the animal world, and he says this: are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Now, I preached on these verses, John, and I know a little bit of the Greek behind this and so forth.
He's a Greek geek sometimes.
I'm a Greek geek sometimes, yeah. Where it says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Literally, in the Greek, it says, not one sparrow will fall to the ground apart from the Father. From your Father.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me that God himself notices when a sparrow falls. He is, in some ways, he is there. He is concerned about even a sparrow. And and that basis of a concern for a sparrow is why he says if he's concerned about a sparrow, how much more is he concerned about you?
Yeah.
He is concerned about a sparrow. And I got to say, let me finish. Wait. And here's the conclusion, the wrap up to the sermon. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. He does not say you are worth more than all sparrows. Now that tells me that mankind, as valuable as mankind is, sparrows are valuable too to God. And that would therefore be other species are valuable to God. There's value in species, and if God thinks there's value, we should think.
Yeah, and I think part of it too is when God is by that sparrow, so to speak, or noticing that sparrow. His eyes on that sparrow, the song goes.
Yes.
The whole point is, in my mind, is that God is noticing even the fine details of what this principle of sin has caused.
Yes.
Sin is the ultimate species taker.
Oh, yes.
And the whole point of the devil is, as the devil goes about, the Bible says, as a roaring lion seeking who he can devour, the devil is trying to eliminate the human species. The devil has devalued the human species. Actually, Darwinism, we believe, has not what we would call origins in its philosophy in godly people. It's people who are atheistic without God, and therefore from a Christian or a biblical perspective would be on the other side. And they devalued the species by saying that you are not worth two sparrows. Your hairs on your head are irrelevant. You are irrelevant as just one more biological accident.
That's exactly right. An evolutionary scientist said once on a panel that, to me, when I asked about, you know, the value of humans, if we're all here by chance, what's our value? He said, well, actually, I don't feel very special. I'm not a special person. In other words, what he was trying to say.
No, we agree.
And I'm good. And he was saying, I'm good with that, that I'm not worth anything more than, I guess, a sparrow or a dirt clod or anything else. There's no value as such to the human species on a purely Darwinistic theory level. That's why we talked last week about cloning. There isn't much value to humans according to Darwin.
You know, the interesting thing when you talk about protecting species, the species that God wants to save are all of them, but unfortunately he had to quarantine sin. And he quarantined, just like they want to quarantine islands in Hawaii from invasions from outside species that may wreck their paradise, so to speak. God wants to quarantine his universe from the outside ideas of self-centeredness and sin.
Which is what sin
and
is.
And so God is confined to this planet in this, what we would call, a great controversy between good and evil. He quarantined it because he's trying to save the species. He has come and entered into the thing and is doing the rehabilitation of the species through his grace and through his love. And he's not, and one day he'll have to just clean up the environment for this species that he has saved to place in.
You suppose that that the humankind, with our rebellious spirit, is a little bit of a mosquito-like threat to the universe as we are now. If we got loose.
God is definitely has a contained. God does believe in containing and quarantining sin. That's even the leper teaches us that. The stories of how to deal with leprosy is you quarantine deadly sin, and God, I believe, on a cosmic level, has quarantined this planet. Evil is not running rampant all over. He's quarantined it, and he wants to enter in and save it. He brings in the one information into the species, so to speak, that allows it to be saved. And that's when he sent his son, and he came in to declare our value, to declare what life is really about, because every species is important.
The sparrows are valuable to God, and we are worth more than many sparrows. Not all, but many sparrows. And God wanted to establish that, especially through the gift of Jesus. As he died on the cross, he established our value forever. And I'm sorry, my good evolutionist friend who doesn't feel like he's any more special than anybody else, I'm sorry, I do feel special, and he should feel special. And listener, you are all special.
Yeah, he might think he's on the brink of spiritual extinction, but Christ has come to say that no one is beyond the brink of spiritual extinction as long as they want to look toward his grace and find salvation.
Amen to that. Well, so I hope, listener, you caught today that as Christians, we should be very interested in the environment. We should be more interested in saving species that God has created than anybody else, because God placed a value on them as he placed on us.
And keep those values in proportion. And so tune into again to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.